Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. This podcast was recorded live from the YouTube Ham Radio Crash Course channel. We stream every Friday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and try to cover many topics in amateur radio. Consider supporting us through patreon.com/Hosh Nasi, which is Hotel Oscar Sierra Hotel, Nevada Alpha Sierra India. Without further ado, let's get started. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course. Welcome to Friday. Thanks for joining us, spending your time on a Friday, coming out, seeing what we're up to. Today we've got a very special show. We've got the ARRLs, I can say that right, the ARRLs Becky Schoenfeld with us. And we're going to be talking about On the Air magazine. So we're glad you can make it out. You can get ready with your questions in the chat, and we will take a little bit of call-ins at the end. And a reminder, we will be doing the Discord after chat. The link is in the description for that. So again, glad you can make it. And what's up, everybody? It's I, Josh, KI6NAZ. Thanks for coming out to the Ham Radio Crash Course. Again, the Ham Radio Crash Course is all about breeding inclusivity in amateur radio to give you some ideas, something to think about, then you take and apply on your own. So any questions you have, interesting things that you're involved in or want to mention it, post in the chat. Consider joining our Facebook group and our Discord, because that's where we answer a lot of questions and have different things going on there as well. All right, who do we got in the chat? We've already got a lot of people coming in, so thanks so much for everybody hopping in. Hey, Mike, what's up, Mike? What else? Let's see. Hi from Wisconsin. Josh, my wife says she's angry with you. I may have just made another order with Palomar. So, hey, thanks for the cue on that one. Palomar Engineers, not affiliated with me, but said they would do a coupon code if you use HRCC73 at checkout. And I'll make a quick note on this. I wanted to hit that message right up front. I don't have a lot of news to talk about, but I posted the We Are Killing Amateur Radio and Here's How You Fix It. It was all about RFI, RFI in the shack. And everybody asked me about that dryer. And they're like, how do you have a dryer that runs off of 110? It's gas, guys. It's natural gas. So the heating element is gas. That's why the voltage is so low. And that's what we use in California a lot, because electricity is expensive. So what are we doing here today? Well, we can pretty much jump right into the interview pretty much. We are going to talk about the ARRL's new magazine, On the Air. And we have Becky with us to talk about that. And let me show you really quick. Becky was nice enough to provide the cover for the first issue, which we're pretty excited about. So I'll go ahead and bring Becky in now. And let's make sure you got your mic on there. Good. And Becky, how are you doing? Becky is W1BXY, by the way. Becky Schoenfeld from the ARRL. How are you this evening?
Good, Josh. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. So tell us about yourself a little bit. You're the managing editor on QST and now the editorial director for On the Air, this new magazine that's coming out.
Right. I've been with ARRL since the summer of 2011. So been a while now. I started out on books, and after about a year, I was moved to QST. My background's in publishing, a little bit of books, but mostly periodicals, mm-hmm. Newspapers, magazines. So it's been QST for a long time, and now that we've got On the Air, I am in charge of scheduling all the editorial, planning the editorial for that. So it's just more magazines at ARRL now.
Very good. Yeah, I imagine that's a fun time when you're about to kick off a new magazine, right?
Oh, yes. It's been a lot of fun. It's been, it's like having a whole different job all of a sudden.
I bet.
A lot of new energy popping out, which has been really refreshing.
That's very good. Real quick shout out to Glendon Blount. Thank you so much. Big super chat. Thank you. I really appreciate it. So really quick question, Becky. How long has QST been out? I forgot to ask that earlier when we were talking. You've been making, it's been provided by the ARRL for quite a while, right?
QST turned 100 in 2015.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's been published continuously since 1919. So there was a little break for World War I, and then it came back good in 1919.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there aren't too many 100-year-old magazines out there anymore.
I wouldn't imagine so. So tell us about the new magazine, kind of what it's about and what the goal is, I guess.
The new magazine, On the Air, it's a bi-monthly, and it is geared toward beginner and intermediate level ham radio operators and radio communicators. You don't have to be a technician to get on the air, to be interested in On the Air. It just matters sort of what level you feel you're at. So any license class, been in the service, been in the hobby for any number of years, but you know, if your level of knowledge, if your level of comfort isn't quite there, On the Air is the magazine for you.
Okay. So QST often, like we talked about, has a lot of reviews and they go to some technical level. Where would you kind of put the technical level for On the Air? I guess it has a bit different viewpoint, right?
Yeah. On the Air is beginner to intermediate. So we're seeing a lot of opt-in from techs and generals. So we don't want to be completely rock bottom, but we don't want to bore generals. We don't want to bore folks who have some operating background, who have played around on HF, who know how to get themselves out there. But we want to be basic enough to bring along beginners, including rock bottom beginners. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of there are a lot of definitions. There's a lot of explaining concepts so that even if you've been out there operating, I mean, I've been out there operating, but I don't necessarily know all the electronic stuff, all the ham stuff that was on the test. You know, you can get out there and operate without necessarily knowing some of that stuff, but we're going to take it down to that level for people so that they do know what's behind all of the stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, one of the questions I think I get a lot of from the live streams and the videos is breaking down the jargon and all the acronyms. So it sounds like pretty much a little bit of that's going to be going on, which is going to be extremely helpful, I think, for people.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of that going on. There are a lot of definitions, a lot of spelling out those acronyms. Sometimes, even in QST, there'll be what we call a ham speak box that pops up in the middle of an article sometime.
Yeah.
On the Air has those ham speak boxes, but even in the body of articles, there's just a lot of defining terms going into a little bit of an explanation, but not so much that we get bogged down in theory.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get people to where they want to be so they can have fun with radio, so that they can be productive with radio without bogging down in a bunch of equations, a bunch of the stuff that was on the test. You know, folks want to get active, whatever their definition of active is, and that's what we're aiming to do with On the Air.
Oh, I love that. That's good you mention it. One of my big things is just getting people out there, get them started. I mean, you know, you got to be safe. You got to follow the rules. But I feel like that's not a lot of effort to do things responsibly and safely and foremost legally by the FCC. So that's great, because I think that's what a lot of new hams need, is the ability to kind of feel confident enough like they're not going to make a mistake. And if there's somebody out there kind of helping them out with that, that's going to be fantastic for that. So very good. So you covered a little bit about it, but who would you say the magazine is for? Is there a target demographic that you're kind of looking for?
There is. It goes back to the target demographic goes back to how On the Air got its start, which was back in 2017. A bunch of managers at ARLHQ got together and wanted to approach the perennial problem of how do we bring more people into the amateur radio service, into the amateur radio hobby? How do we get them involved? How do we get them to join ARL? And we looked at a lot of research that we had kicking around for a few years. And and thought, we looked at that picture that we had of people, and we, what else do we need to know? Mm-hmm. How do we get this information? So we figured out what we needed to know to get a clearer picture of who we needed to talk to, and put together a survey. And rather than have folks just answer a bunch of demographic questions, we thought, let's give them something to react to. They say that they want, we knew they wanted information. We knew that particularly beginners needed information that would help them become active ham radio operators. So we put together a package of information that was geared toward beginner, intermediate, and shaped it like a 32-page magazine, just for ease of use, just to give them something people could hold in their hands and react to, and then answer some questions about it. And we called this test piece On the Air. And it went out to a sample of, newer hams and folks who had never been ARL members. And we said, you know, what do you think of this? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? Is the level right? Are the topics the kinds of things you're interested in? If something like this existed, would you want to read it? Do you feel that this would be helpful? You know, tell us what you think. And we also asked questions about license class, what kind of technical level that these folks felt they were at, what they felt they could handle technically and where they needed help. We asked them questions about their hobbies apart from ham radio, and we asked them how they like to consume information. Mm-hmm. And so we got a whole bunch of data back, really interesting stuff. They really loved the test piece, and we more or less hit the nail on the head with that, which was encouraging. But then it was, how do we reach these people? Right. So that was 2017. And here we are, you know, at the end of 2019, launching what became On the Air magazine. I hear some people questioning, why on earth did they put out a new print magazine? Isn't that dead trees?
Yeah, let's cut down more trees.
You know, let's cut down more trees. Why did ARL put out a dead tree magazine? Well, because that's overwhelmingly what people told us they wanted.
Okay.
Print really isn't dead. Our ARL's audience overwhelmingly wants print. It's mm-hmm. just astonishing. Survey after survey that we do, they tell us they want print. So here is, you know, On the Air magazine. It's a real thing now. It's based in the research that we did in 2017, and sort of the whole thing behind it is, you know, we asked what you wanted, you told us what you wanted, and now here it is. Now, we've taken the time to tailor it to what you told us you wanted, and we're giving it to you.
So I didn't know about the pedigree that you had this study. That was new information to me. So I love analytics. Was there like a key, like maybe just one, your favorite or the most impactful like lesson learned from that survey? Do you remember? Is there anything that jumped out at you? Like, wow, okay, we could work with this or something you didn't expect?
There was something that we had an inkling of that the survey results confirmed. And it ties into something that you and I were talking about earlier before we got started up tonight. We had an inkling that folks who are coming into the hobby now are not coming in to get DXCC, to run in contests. Yeah. You know, they're not doing these classic, we like to call them classic ham pursuits. And we had an idea of that. The survey results absolutely confirmed that. We found with the survey results that hams that are coming into the hobby nowadays, by and large, they want to do public service and emergency communications, And they're interested in the technology as a means to all sorts of ends. Like what you were saying before about...
like the balloon, right? Like, you know, I'll have college students that will contact me and say, hey, we've made this weather balloon and we want to track it. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, oh, we found out about this thing, APRS. Are you familiar with it? And then that ends up getting a couple of them licensed, right? And I've heard that from multiple college students, actually, is that they end up picking up ham radio to solve a logistical problem with a project they're working on. Like Sterling Mann on YouTube here. He got his license, or someone in his club got his license, because they had a solar-powered car that they needed to keep track of, and they used ham radio because it was much better than FRS walkie-talkies, and that's why they got it.
Yep. That is absolutely in line with the kinds of things we heard on this survey. And we looked at each other and went, oh my gosh, you know, we're right. That's what they want. Eventually we'll get into that kind of stuff in On the Air, the technology for the technology's sake. A lot of it is stuff that you don't even necessarily need a license for. A lot of it is stuff that's just receiving. And it's really fascinating to see that this is how people are using RF technology nowadays.
I realize Sterling Mann is actually in the chat. Sterling, was that correct? Did I say that story correctly? Was it somebody else? Oh, it was Kyle's story. Okay, sorry. Sorry, I confused you two. I apologize. So you kind of already tipped on it a little bit. With your AWRL membership, you get one printed magazine of your choice, right? But you get access to more of them electronically. Can you kind of describe? You kind of already talked about it, but maybe just hit it.
Yeah. On the Air is ARRL's newest member benefit. QST is an ARRL member benefit, and it was the flagship magazine. It still is the flagship magazine. It's the membership journal of ARRL. And what we're offering now is if you're an ARRL member, you have a choice of one magazine in print. You can choose to receive QST in print or On the Air in print. But regardless of which one you choose, all members can access both of those magazines digitally.
That's fantastic.
The digital edition of the first issue of On the Air goes live, I believe, on Tuesday, the 14th. So all ARRL members, regardless of which print magazine you've opted into, will be able to see both QST and On the Air digitally. I think digital QST is out already. I think it came out today. But On the Air will be up there on Tuesday.
Oh, very good.
We are also, I think within the next, I can't remember if it's the next 2 months or so, National Congress Journal and QEX, those two publications will be available digitally to all members very shortly. I forget what the actual date is. So there's just going to be, you know, this plethora of magazines. You're going from access to one magazine to access to four magazines very shortly. So members have that to look forward to within the next few months.
That's great. I've been a long time. Well, I also like print magazines. I have a stack of QSTs I hang on to for the articles, but I've been a long time user of the digital platform too. I remember when AWRL first moved to that, I was like one of the first ones out of the gate on my iPad, like iPad 1 or 2 or something like that when it first came out. So yeah, I definitely like that. So I like the fact that you can get one physical copy, but then have access to the digital copies. Or I thought that was really, really awesome. So
I'm getting emails, almost every day. I get several emails asking, why can't I have both QST and On the Air in print? Mm-hmm. I want both in print. Why can't I have it? And the answer to that is you got to wait a few months. Later this year, there's some infrastructure that we're working on. And once it is in place, members will be able to get both QST and On the Air in print. So all of you who have been emailing me and who have been emailing customer service, hang in there. That option is coming.
Okay. And I think someone earlier in the chat asked if HRO is going to sell the magazine, which they're already selling QST. So I assumed they probably would too, right? That's an odd question to throw at you, but somebody in the chat said it, so I thought I'd give it to you.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I think so. But I've had so much on the air stuff floating around in my head. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Sure. Makes sense. Yeah. So you talked a little bit about, you know, the survey that kind of got you to the point of kicking off the magazine. And now that you have it going forward, or you have it coming out, looking forward, how do you feel that it's going to relate to the kind of the future of ham radio? That's a pretty heady question. I get that. So feel free to take that however you will, and we can work with it.
The future of ham radio.
Or where do you see it going, I guess, the future of ham radio? You kind of mentioned a little bit, but I don't know if there's something else you've got, or maybe a vision for where the magazine's heading.
I think where we're heading as far as offerings from ARRL is more specialization. Mm-hmm. QST is the membership journal, and it's become kind of a catch-all for everything. It's kind of had to be all things to all people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a thing that some people love about it and that some people hate about it. And going forward, the general plan is to have more specialization in the publications. There, you know, amateur radio has so many different aspects to it. It's just this, you know, microcosm of complexity.
Yeah.
On the air, you know, is covering a lot of the different topics, but we are talking about breaking out things like public service, contesting. Of course, we do have NCJ. It may be that NCJ gets an overhaul, whether it's editorially, whether it's graphically. QEX, you know, it has been billed as the magazine for experimenters. So that's sort of our technology magazine. We're looking at segmenting that stuff so that more of these special interest areas in amateur radio have their own publication. So okay. That if you're interested in contesting, you know, it's maybe a more beefed up version of what currently exists as NCJ.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, that... So it's specializing a little bit more, focusing in that kind of niche area. And then you have QST, which is kind of like the centerpiece, if you will, or the, you know, what was the term you used for the main magazine, the front leader or the,
it's, you used a term. The flagship.
That's it. That's a better term. So that's the flagship. And then you're going to have something that's a bit aimed more towards the introductory / intermediate side. So I like that. Okay. So then I think you've already covered a little bit of this too, but the lineup for magazines going forward is kind of everything's the same, aside from the changes you've mentioned, with the addition of now On the Air.
Yeah. We'll be bringing NCJ and QEX to what we hope will be a larger audience by making them available digitally to all members. And we're going to sort of let that ride for a little while and see where it takes those publications, you know, because we don't want to sort of say, you know, if we build it, they'll come. We want to know...
Right.
What those communities want once more of them, more NCJ type folks and QEX type folks really get a look at those publications. We're hoping we're going to start to hear about what those folks want so that we can, if we're going to make changes, then we can make changes that are appropriate to what the community wants.
Okay. Very good. You were talking about the survey, and that kind of gave you the basis of going forward with the magazine. And I'm curious, how does it kind of line up with the way ARRL sees kind of amateur radio demographics these days, as far as, you know, different people getting licensed? Are there any trends that are kind of emerging? like you said, we talked a little bit before the video here. So I'm assuming that some of this is coming out because there's probably some thought, of course, that went into this by the ARRL as far as emerging trends in demographics and amateur radio. And what have you noticed or what have you seen?
Well, the main trend that I think we're all noticing is the aging population of hams.
Sure.
And this enormous concern of how do we replace those guys and gals? You know, they're mostly guys, so I say they're the guys.
Well, that's backed up by fact. We know that, right? we have all the analytics on this. Yes, yeah.
You know, how are we going to keep the hobby going? How are we going to keep the service going? Where are these people going to come from? And amateur radio is such a niche hobby. It really isn't for everybody, you know, and I think that people tend to qualify themselves once they're exposed to certain things. Like you mentioned with a college student that's, you know, trying to get a project going and they discover APRS or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the ways that we find that hams sort of people who are going to become hams sort of qualify themselves on their way to perhaps getting licensed. Where was I going with this? Oh, replacing the current generation of classic hams.
And I guess we're not replacing them. It's just a matter of fact of how things work,
of
right?
The way life goes, naturally. Yeah. You know, because they're in the hobby, you know. All any of us do is get older, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't want that privilege to be denied us. So, you know, as hams get older, we're hearing about hams that are going, you know, I want to kind of slow down. I'm not as active as I used to be. I'm going to take down my towers.
Yeah.
You know, we hear about that stuff. And folks who are coming in, we're hearing a lot about, you know, wanting to use the technology in and of itself. We're hearing about folks who are getting involved because they want to do MCOM public service. We're hearing a lot about folks who got licensed because a friend or loved one really, really, really encouraged them. You know, what do we give these people to do?
Right.
Have we got them or have we only sort of got them? And if we've only sort of got them, how do we really get them? And what we're hearing is that they don't have the help that this classic generation of hams had, because what did those guys have? They had Elmers. And everyone's going, well, where are the Elmers?
Yes.
They're, by and large, they're not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not there anymore because life changed, the world changed, society changed. Kids aren't running around on the streets until their moms call them in for dinner anymore.
Right.
Kids' childhood is not like that anymore.
Right.
You know, is there a nice older man down the street? Is he really going to call you in and say you want to come look at this cool thing that I have in my basement or my garage? Life's not really like that anymore. You know,
yep.
Right, wrong, or indifferent. That's just not the way it goes.
Yeah.
So the Elmer system isn't there anymore. Where are these people supposed to go for help?
Yeah.
You and I were talking a little bit earlier about ham radio being very decentralized. Ham radio is a community, and hams are out there everywhere, but not necessarily congregating in places where they're readily available to people who might be interested.
There's kind of a move to almost decentralized clubs now. I mean, that seems to be happening as well. I mean, I'm not trying to interrupt you. Keep going with where you're going. But I've noticed that trend as well is happening, which I find is kind of just all saying the same thing.
Yeah, there's that movement toward online clubs. And that's kind of a moving target, too. You know, every time I think about trying to do an article about that to sort of help other perhaps like-minded people, like-minded groups along. It's just, it's really hard to sort of pin that down. So if anybody out there has an online club that's doing really great things, shoot me an email.
Oh, I've got one we can talk about right at the end here. I'm a member of it.
Okay. but so all of that is changing. And the systems that used to help interested people and newer hams get really solid in the skills and the knowledge that they needed to be successful in amateur radio have kind of faded away. Yeah. So that's where we see things. That's where things are. And we realized that the ARL was in a unique position to step in and help those people. Because ham radio is so decentralized, because it's a community that's just everywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, ARL is a community that is centralized, and we're there to help and to promote. So we were uniquely positioned to offer some help. And one of the ways we're getting started doing that is with On the Air. We have another initiative that is an online learning. It'll be a series of online courses. I think it's called the ARL Learning Center. That's going to be rolled out later this year.
Oh,
there's all kinds of stuff cooking at ARL headquarters.
So what is that exactly? Is there a little bit you could say about that without giving away too much?
That's going to be a series of online courses. It's not necessarily all for beginners because learning never ends. Mm-hmm. We'll be kicking that off with stuff that is for beginners. But as that online learning program develops, there'll be interesting niche stuff for more experienced hams as well. Okay. So we're hoping to offer resources, courses, sort of places where newer hams can go to get this information, get this knowledge, find ways to build skills that used to be handled by.
Yeah. Was that kind of always the design of this, to kind of be like an Elmer in your pocket kind of thing? Because, I mean, if you think about it, it's a digital app, right? Or a digital document. It's an Elmer in your pocket. That's a free ad copy, by the way. You have a picture of somebody pulling the phone out of the pocket. It's got the magazine already on it right there. That's free.
Well, thank you, Josh. we've talked about all kinds of stuff.
I bet, yeah.
Couple of years. Like, you know, could there be live chat help? You know, could there be, all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, maybe that's out there in the future. We don't know. But where we're starting with this, you know, we have made a start. On the Air magazine is the very beginning of this stuff. And this suite of online courses is going to be a big next step in that. Mm-hmm. And who knows where it'll go from there. You know, this is only the beginning. So so this is what we're doing to try and step in and fill that void of sort of the waning of Elmer culture.
Mm-hmm. I like the concept now. I get where you're going with that. I didn't initially put the thought together, but then when you mentioned Elmering, that is a totally true problem that we have out there. So, yeah, that's a really good idea in that regard. So I don't want to steal anything from the future content of the magazine. And I know you're probably thinking like chess. You've got to think how many issues ahead of the one you're currently working on. But is there going to be possibly some articles on like some radio activation stories of in the field, talking about somebody's kit and what they used to get out in the field and kind of breaking it down a little bit and how they were successful or whatnot?
Yeah, that's a big part of what we present in QST, and we will certainly be doing that in On the Air. We'll be presenting it differently in On the Air because we need to really break it down for folks who are trying to learn, you know, how can I be successful at this? Mm-hmm. I just accepted a really great article about getting started in SOTA.
Yeah.
I worked on with David Wise, whose call sign I can't remember right now. He just got a um, he just got a 1x2 call, or maybe it's a 2x1 call. I don't remember how that shook out.
Oh, very nice.
But I don't have that slotted into an issue yet, but it's a really nice beginner level article about how he became aware of the SOTA program, how he chose his first peak, what he learned about the kind of equipment that he brought. He was taking too much equipment with him, you know, that process. So that's the sort of level. It was at just the right level for on the air. And we just got that hashed out. So I don't know when readers will be seeing that, but it'll be in there eventually.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we're kind of excited about portable. I like portable a lot. You know, we do hit portable. I don't know if it's more than we should, but we do hit portable a lot.
It's extremely popular right now. Well, first, let me say my first SOTA activation was a fail. I packed too much. I way under predicted what I needed and total fail, but it got a lot better from that point. So I definitely hear you on that one. The portable stuff, though, is so amazing now because you've got the shrinking of radios, the easy to connect to digital modes that are available now, and getting outdoors for a lot of people is the best way to get away from all the RFI in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a nightmare.
That's that pops up in quite a few of the portable stories that we do, and it pops up in David Wise's story too. It was a big factor in why he started doing portable activations. Just he was in an HOA situation, and portable offers you a really great way to get out there and use the antennas that you want or need to use because you're outdoors and you don't have to bow to your HOA.
Yeah. You get a little bit more space to spread out with antennas, and you do draw on a lot of people that are wandering around going, what is this guy doing? I had the cops called on me once before when I operated from a park because I had a funky octopus antenna, and they were like, this guy is up to no good, this ham nerd.
Yeah, but you know, getting stopped, you know, we all know that's a good time to do some outreach too.
Yeah, we had a card printed, and when I did SOTA with Jerry, KG6HQD, we were working, someone would work the radio and the other person would be talking to the people as they walked by because it was a lot. So definitely time for outreach on that one.
Yeah, tag team outreach.
Oh, so we got a question. Lee Harrell, thanks for the super chat. I appreciate it. If we're currently receiving QST and would like to switch to on the air, is that possible? If so, how do we make that move? Thanks and Happy New Year.
Hello. Thanks for the question. If you really want to switch midstream, you can contact our customer service department and they can help you out. Generally, we're saying when you renew, you know, that's the time to switch. But if you really want to switch before your renewal time, I think we can help you out.
Okay. All right. Very good. I'm going to turn on the call-ins. We're about that time. I think we can start taking call-ins. And while I'm getting this going, we talked beforehand, and we probably should have canned most of all this discussion, but let's try to revive some of it. I was asking about the podcasts. I'm a big listener of podcasts. I commute 2 hours a day in the car, so I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I always listen to The Doctor's Inn and So Now What? So what's the podcast lineup going to be going forward? Or what's going on with that, if you can talk about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can talk about that. The podcast lineup is currently transitioning to a couple of new things. We have had the Doctor Is In podcast for quite some time. It's a companion to the very popular Doctor Is In column that appears in QST. The Doctor is, of course, Joel Hallis. The Doctor Is In kind of resides as the more experienced ham podcast.
Yep.
A more, you know, more knowledgeable, more confident, maybe been in the hobby longer, maybe has more of a technology background. So that's leveled for those folks. And part of the thinking behind that was Dr. Zinn has been around for, I think it was 4 years, which is a long time for a podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been very popular. It's had a wonderful run. We love Joel. We're so thankful to have him doing stuff for us, doing the column and podcast for us, even long after he has retired. But rather than sort of run it out to, you know, like, how long can we have this thing go? Let's kind of freshen things. Let's kind of switch things up. And let's try and convert the value that the Doctor Is In podcast had to something new, something a little fresher, and maybe bring that audience along. Mm-hmm. So what we are going to be offering for the sort of QST crowd is a new podcast called Eclectic Tech that I believe debuts in February. And that's going to be hosted by Steve Ford, the editor of QST, WB8IMY. And
he's also the voice of the other the news, or he's a part of another podcast too, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's been part of The Doctor Is In with Joel Hallis.
That's it. Okay.
And I believe he's currently the voice of ARL News. I think he's, no, actually, the voice of ARL News, I think, is Carla Pereira.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that. Yeah.
But Steve has been on Doctor with Joel. Mm-hmm. So Steve will be doing this new podcast, Eclectic Tech. It's going to be sort of a podcast companion to his Eclectic Technology column that appears in every issue of QST. And it's a neat little column. It only runs one page every month, but it presents things that are maybe more closely related to ham radio some months, maybe some months more tangentially related. Oh, but okay. It's always something really interesting, unusual, and it's a nice way to mix things up. It's sort of sometimes it's curiosities. Like I remember he did a column about Bluetooth and why Bluetooth is called Bluetooth. And that wasn't as technological as some of his most of the other columns. It was more eclectic than technological. But there is some really interesting technology that he highlights in that column. And going forward, that's what the podcast will be as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to sort of try and port the Dr. Is In listenership over to this new Eclectic Tech podcast.
Okay.
So now what had been sort of cast toward beginner level, and that was before we had On the Air, that was before we knew On the Air was really going to be an actual magazine. It was still kind of in the development phase going, are we going to do this? Are we not? Is this the right time? Is it focused properly? And now that On the Air exists, we're looking to create a real strong suite of offerings for that audience. Folks who are either newcomers, fairly recent licensees, folks who have been licensed, you know, 2 years, 3 years. If folks have been licensed longer, they're maybe not that strong in the tech. Maybe they haven't been operating. Maybe they haven't been using the technology that much. We really want to bring these people along step by step, really give them a strong basis in everything from the jargon to basic electronics, you know, really ground up. And we felt the best way to do that was to have a companion podcast to On the Air. We looked at, you know, are we going to repurpose So Now What to have So Now What be sort of On the Air's companion podcast?
Right.
There were a lot of discussions about it.
Sure.
So ultimately we decided that On the Air would have its own dedicated podcast. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, there'll be a podcast. The On the Air podcast debuts on Thursday. Okay. I just finished writing the script this afternoon.
All right.
Yeah. And that'll be monthly. The On the Air magazine is bi-monthly. The podcast will be monthly. So what we'll do in the first episode is we'll give you sort of a walkthrough of the issue. We'll go through sort of flipping through page by page and talk about why the things that are in there are in there, mm-hmm. and what we hope to give newcomers with this kind of material. And in the February running of that podcast, we'll get into extending the material that appears in that issue.
Okay.
So fit in the issue, will show up in the podcast. There'll also be an On the Air blog. I think that debuts not this coming week, the week after. I think it debuts the week of the 20th. So all these things, the On the Air magazine, podcast, and blog, are all going to support each other. They're all going to kind of talk to each other. So if you're not a podcast person, then something might show up in the blog that's also on the podcast, or vice versa. There'll be an On the Air Facebook page. So if you're a Facebook person, but not a podcast person,
yep.
there might be enough overlap there that you're going to get the extra goodies that are in the podcast or the blog. It's all going to sort of talk to you.
It's a target rich environment, as we call it, right? So if you can port that content into the medium form, podcast, blog, magazine, you're kind of hitting all your bases. It can't just be a carbon copy, of course, and I'm sure you know that. So that sounds awesome. We got a caller, so I'll go ahead and patch them in. Hey, caller, what's your name?
Hey, Becky. This is Bill, November 6th, Foxtrot, Foxtrot Charlie. I just turned on the iPad and saw you, and I'm really looking forward to the new magazine. When's the first issue going to hit the stands?
Hi, Bill. Thanks a lot for the call. The first issue of On the Air is officially in the mail. Did you opt into it? Or are you still receiving QST in print?
No, I'm getting QST, but I'll probably opt into it because I see QST online. Mm-hmm. Is On the Air going to be online as well?
Yes. So even if you're opted into QST in print, you'll still be able to view On the Air in the digital edition online. And that's going to debut on Tuesday, the 14th.
Beautiful. Boy, I'm really looking forward to it. So, yeah, I've been a life member of the league for about 25 years getting more involved. So, okay, well, I'll let you go to other callers, but I saw you, and I didn't know if you were live or not, and then I figured, well, heck, I'll call and see, and so there you are.
All right,
so
thanks.
So have a great weekend, and thanks for everything you do.
You too, Bill. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, yeah, the phone lines are open. We are having a good conversation, though, so I'm not surprised that people aren't calling in. Usually there's a lull in the traffic and they're like, okay, I'm going to jump in and ask a question. But this is really good information. So, okay, very good. I think we hit all my questions that I had. And we definitely went a little bit further into that as well. So I'm glad that you got to talk about some of this stuff and I get to hear where you're going with it, because that's not necessarily what I expected. I kind of thought, you know, so now what, you know, had a pretty straightforward topic every show. And I thought maybe the magazine would be kind of like that. But if it's the helping out people with the jargon and walking them through the acronyms and kind of being that Elmer to explaining why you do something, it doesn't have to always be the most technical thing to still be safe and adhering to the laws and still being able to have fun, which I hope that's the primary goal, right, guys? Why are we doing this? Is because it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be, you know, a hobby, something we enjoy doing. So that all together sounds like a pretty good deal. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'll definitely be pulling it up on my iPad when it shows. And you said the 14th, right? Was the
Yep, it's supposed to be Tuesday the 14th.
Very good. All right, we got another caller. Caller, go ahead. What's your name?
Charlie.
Hi, Charlie. What's up?
Well, newly licensed ham, what I'd like to know is, why should I join AARL or AARRL, whatever? What's a good reason to do so?
A good reason to do so is the fact that this year we're rolling out a bunch of stuff that's just for the new folks, specifically for new folks. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since we've tried stuff for newer hams before. This time it's backed by a ton of research. It's sort of a situation where you told us what you wanted and we listened. This is tailored for you. And we're backing it up in ways that I don't think we've ever backed it up before. Mm-hmm. So, and it's sort of multi-pronged. It's popping out in a few different places. It's not just a magazine. A bunch of other formats that if for some reason you don't like print, if some reason you don't like a podcast, it's over here in a blog, it's over here on a Facebook page. There are going to be courses, there's going to be stuff broken down into smaller and smaller little specific, interest-specific ways that so that if something over here doesn't speak to you, we've got something else that might. We're kind of attacking it from a few different ways now. And these are things we haven't tried before. So it's up to you guys to tell us whether we got it right. And because all this stuff is member benefits, if you don't join, you won't be able to see it. So you won't be able to tell us whether we got it right.
I can add a couple of things to that. You've got the VE coordination that the AARRL does, which is that's how we get more people involved. They are the testing arm. There are other VECs out there, but the AARRL is the largest. You've got the Bureau, which, for a lot of people that exchange QSL cards, that's huge. I don't believe you have to be an AARRL member to use Logbook of the World, but you're supporting it by your dues. And so Logbook of the World is kind of the premier location for putting your logs online and definitely going after the awards, which I still do. I still like all that stuff. Charlie, did that help answer the question at all?
To some degree, thank you.
All right, Charlie. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right. We got another caller. Let's see. Caller, go ahead. What's your name?
Hi, Jacob Matthew, KB1YFN. I'm a dog. I've been in the American for 2 years. My question is, has the AARRL thought about the non-traditional hams that have some type of disability like I do?
So I think that's Matthew. Hey, Matthew. He's a member of our Discord and comes out on the videos a lot. So I think the question is as far as AARRL looking towards people with disabilities or covering that in some way. I don't know if that's come up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In terms of covering it,
support of could be, yeah.
We're always looking for, leads toward other people that are in the hobby who are differently abled. So, you can contact me and we can talk. It's been a while since we did anything.
And I know you've got the, Matthew, I know we talked about handy hams. And yep. I think if you go to the Discord, Matthew, I sent you a contact for somebody that said that they could come out and help you set up your antenna. I don't know if you saw that. I tried to email you and send you a Discord.
I don't remember. I was talking about that. I don't think I actually talked to them. I do have the email up with them, but I never.
I think you're so. We're fighting your cell phone now. I think you're cutting it out. It's hard for me to copy the. Are you still there? Sure. Well, I think they have before. I'm sure, Becky, you can mention it if you can think of one off the top of your head. But there are organizations that are specifically for that. Like, I know you know Handy Hands, but go ahead, Becky.
But Matthew, if you have any ideas in particular, we would be interested to hear about that. You can, an easy email address to remember is qst@arrl.org. And if you have ideas, you know, you can send them in via that email address, and we can take a look at them.
Yeah, I just thought I was having trouble with
Yeah. No, I think we got the question. I think if you have an idea, though, make sure to reach out to Becky for that. So, all right, Matt, we're going to still do the Discord after chat. So if you want to jump over there, too, we can talk over there as well, because we're going to wrap up here shortly. So thank you for calling in, Matthew.
Thanks, Matthew.
Okay, I think we've got one more, and then we'll go ahead and do the wrap up. Oop. Hold on. There we go. Caller, go ahead. What's your name?
Hello?
Are you there?
Yes. Are you hearing me?
Yes. What's your name?
Okay. How are you, George? How, Becky? How are you? My name is Matt from Argentina. First of all, I want to say thank you, Josh, for all that you are doing in the channel. It's very nice, and I am really happy that the ARL right now is doing this approach. I think you are, Becky, you are listening to hands right now, what they need. I think that it's a very nice approach to take care of the newbies, of the new hands, like the YouTubers do of course. So it's very important for me that you take care of that, because that is, I always say that the YouTubers are very important to, they are helping us to grow the hobby. You know, sorry about my English, guys. Okay.
I'm
a little bit nervous right now. Okay. But I think, Becky, it's a very nice approach that you are launching this new edition. Okay. And I have to say something. For example, you have to give to the YouTubers some ads for free for all what they are doing right now for the hobby. You know, I think it's very important, because you are doing this kind of approach, and all the YouTubers, Josh, Jason, also KH, MRD, Mike, everyone are doing a very good job, and it's very important to the hobby. So please, I will really need to see a free ad for these YouTubers, all right?
Checks in the mail, Matt. I really appreciate it. Thank you for calling in on that one. I mean, Becky making herself available to be on the show is, I mean, already really huge. That's an awesome thing that we're doing this to begin with. So thank you, Becky, for that. And thank you, Matt, for mentioning that. But
okay, that is it, guys. Thank you very much. And very nice approach, Becky. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt. Very good.
Bye, guys.
All right. Well, Becky, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you want to mention that we might not have hit that you want to talk about before we go wrap it up?
Boy, not that I can think of. It's, you know, it's just about 11 o'clock here on the East Coast. I can feel my eyes starting to droop. This has been really great. Thanks a lot, Josh. And it's an exciting time at ARRL. We're really excited about offering this stuff to the community, and we're very interested to hear what you all have to say about it once you get your hands, or at the very least your eyes, on the air. You know, this publication is for the community, you know, and we want to know if we got it right. We want to know if you're actually using this, and if this is something that's going to help you.
Oh, I'm excited to check it out. Ben Robinson, good luck in your Aries statewide simplex contest tomorrow. That's awesome. And 86 DM Dennis. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. Okay, Becky, hang on the line here for a second. I got to close out with my Patreon closeout to thank everybody. But again, amazing, awesome that you could join us. And thank you for staying up. I really do appreciate it. But this has been hopefully really helpful. And don't worry, I'll email you right after I read the magazine after the 14th when I see it. And I'll tell you every one of my thoughts. So, so thank you again. All right, let's give a... Oh, sorry. Well, I thought you might have muted. What was that?
Oh, I just said thanks for having me on.
Okay. Thanks again. All right. So want to give my big thanks to... Let's flip it over here. Thank you to all the patrons. You guys largely help create the content by allowing access to not just the radios and all the equipment, but some of the equipment that I use to make this show. By the way, there will be a post coming up soon. I'm going to have a contest for the patrons. So that will be going along shortly here. So anyway, big thank you to Carrie Blackwell, Jason Brown, Jason Siebert, David Dansero, Danny Miller, Wesley Magyar, Barbara Schrock, Will Ladd, Evan Hartman, Franklin Lewis, Brad Snyder, Dennis Dunderdale, Garrett Larson, Jonathan Franson, 86 DM Dennis, who is in the chat, the Wyoming Ham, I saw him earlier too, Randall Hinsley, Dennis Mickelson, George Guyini, Andy, Kenny Miyamoto, Ron Thorson, Ken Hall, Sean Bales, Urge Rogetchevic, Chad, Rob Zerge, Devin B. Hedge, Mark Chase, Raymond Cracker, Geraldo Kelso, Rob K8BCR, Lee Harrell, Michael Kearney, Steve Barker, Mark Fields, Corey Sheldon, Brad Nadau, Stephen Hunt, Conald Carroll, Mike Marusin, Mike Hearley, Harald Carpenter, and the Brew Crew. I did finish my beer, thank you very much. And a little bit more, Steve Hunter, Justin Rao, Justin Carduz, Brian Fairbanks, Richard Smith, Hercules KC1LZR, Mike Zarrett, John Flowers, Stephen Blandford, Tom Wright, The Tan Hat, Bill McCarty, Good Game Bees, who I also saw in the chat, David Gerald, Simon Deards, Michael Dubay, Michael Ifrato, and Don Riley. Everybody, we're going to be going over to the Discord for the after chat. So if you have questions that you didn't want to call in and you just want to be in the major phone pool that we're going to have on Discord, the link is in the description. Post your comments below if you're watching this after the fact. And send me some messages. Hit me up on Facebook or whatever on what you think as well. And we can also send some emails to Becky. All right, guys. I am Josh, KI6NAZ. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. And I'll talk to you later.